This morning, our devotional comes from John chapter 4, verses 27 through 42. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" And they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto the life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and the other reapeth. I sent you to reap what whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into his labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Are there any announcements before we go to class? Let's go to Sunday school then.
The title of our lesson is Jesus' Early Galilean Ministry, and our lesson text takes up where Brother Jimmy left off reading, and that is with the 43rd verse of the 4th chapter of John, and I'll read that at this time. "Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. But a nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee." Now, Jesus is traveling here, and he's left the region of Judea, and he has traveled northward up through Samaria and into Galilee. And as I tried to study this, and these regions were being mentioned, so I turned back to a map that's in the back of my Bible to kind of get a picture in my mind about what was going on, because there were regions mentioned and there are cities mentioned, and I was trying to put it all together. And these regions, Judea, Samaria, and Galilee, would correspond roughly to our counties that we have, Rutherford County, Williamson County, Davidson County. And then within those counties, you would have the cities, Nazareth, Capernaum, and so on. So what has happened just broadly is that Jesus is traveling, and it's mentioned in both the areas and the cities in places here. So after that, he had spent this time in Samaria, he in the middle part of Palestine, he has gone on up into this region of Galilee, and he himself has testified that the prophet has no honor in his own country. Now, our Lord had been raised as a child in Nazareth, and what he's saying here is that the people that knew him as a child don't recognize him as the Savior, as anything. They look at him, and we can turn back into Matthew where this has gone into a little bit deeper, but I didn't write down which part of Matthew that was, so we're not going to right now. But basically what the people of Nazareth said was that, well, we know him, we know his sisters, we know his brothers, his parents, that's Jesus. We saw him when he was raised up. And so because of their lack of belief, the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't do many miracles there. He didn't do a lot of work because they didn't believe. But we see here that there is this nobleman that Jesus' fame has spread. And this nobleman has heard, and he makes an effort. He goes down into this, to where Jesus is in this region of Galilee. And he asks him, he says, Okay, it says he besought him that he would come down, and he said, for his son is at the point of death. Now, this man had enough faith, enough belief to make a journey. How long that journey was, I don't know, but being the method of travel at that time where they either walked or rode an animal, any travel for any distance is going to be a lot more difficult than what it is for us today to get into a car and just take off and go down the interstate. So this man put forth an effort to go find this man that he had heard of, this Jesus. And there's two things that I want to point out. The nobleman heard of Jesus because people spread the word. People talk. They said, you know, I saw this man. I saw what he did. And we, in our devotional background studies, we had the woman at the well that went out and she testified, come see this man that told all that ever I did. This there's something different about this man. This man's a prophet. He knows. He's got a power. And that woman went out and she told. And people believed. They might not believe with all their heart, but they believed enough to go see. Well, let's go find out. Is she telling us the truth? Is she right? Is she crazy? What's going on here? So they went out and they got to know Jesus and found out that she's not crazy. She is right. What she said was true. And sort of the same thing has happened with the nobleman. People have told the nobleman of things that has occurred, things that Jesus has done, this power that was with Jesus. And this nobleman has enough belief to go down and to seek out Jesus and to tell Jesus, my son's dying, come save him. And Jesus replies here, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I think what he is saying here is, do you have enough faith? Do you really believe that I can save your son? That's what I think is going on. And the nobleman saith, sir, come down ere my child die. I believe the nobleman is saying, yes, I know you can do it. I know you can save my son. Come down and save him. And then Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the nobleman departed, believing Jesus. So what we have in play here is the faith of a person the nobleman, and Jesus, I believe, supplying the rest of that faith that he needs, because Jesus says, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Jesus is reassuring him, your son's okay. In effect, he's telling him, I've already taken care of this. I don't have to travel down. And we have another instance in the Bible of the centurion going to Jesus, and Jesus saying, you know, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." The centurion saying, "I've got men under me. I tell them to go, I tell them to come, and they do as I tell them because I'm over them." And the centurion says to Jesus, "You can do the same thing. You can say from here, from this point, you don't have to go down and do it." And Jesus says that he hasn't found that faith in Israel that this centurion had. So the same situation is going on here. That is, that this person believed. They took Jesus at his word, and they trusted in him. Now, there's a lot of faith being exhibited here, and there's a lesson here for us today, both whether we're saved or lost here, in to have that faith. Now, the situation here is a physical sickness. This man's son had some kind of disease that he was literally dying a natural death from. And the man didn't want to see his son die. He was greatly concerned. I have no doubt, I've got children of my own, and if it were necessary for me to give up my life for my children, I would do that. I mean, I love them that much, and I don't want to see them die. And I believe this man was the same way. He didn't want his son to die. He would do whatever it took to see that his son lived. But this is all a physical, carnal situation going on here. And what I mean is, we need to look deeper into that, into a spiritual situation, into the spiritual death that can occur both with our family members, our friends, people that we don't know. This man's son died. Jesus saved his life at this point. He lived out his life and he died. And what I mean by that is, this all happened a long time ago. All of these people died a natural death. Hopefully they didn't die a spiritual death. I have no way of knowing. But hopefully they were all saved and they're in heaven at this time. But I believe the Bible teaches us that's what we need to be concerned with, the spiritual life. Because this natural life that we had, it's going to come to an end at some time. I don't know when. The Bible tells us that we don't know our appointed days, but that we have an appointed time, and then we're not going to pass that bounds. I'm 50 years old. It's unlikely that I'll make it to 100 years. Possible. Some people do, but most people don't. So my life is at least half over at this point. Quite more than likely, quite a bit more than half over. But that's okay, because my spiritual life hasn't even really begun yet. The Lord saved me. I knew when he saved me. I felt it. It's something that occurred that I can't describe, but I knew when it happened. I knew when I was lost. I felt it in my heart. It was a heaviness. Now, I read about the way that it's described, the different people that described heaviness in their heart. And I think it was David that said the pangs of hell got a hold of him. That is, the fear of the grave, the knowledge that he was going to die, and that was something that was coming. I felt all those things, that fear, that loneliness, that separation from God. And I prayed unto him, and I know I've told you all this before, and you know it. Some of you, I think, were probably there the day that I got saved. I was here at this bench. And what it eventually took was that I just gave up on myself. People came by and they told me, just give up, just turn it all over to the Lord. But they gave me a lot of advice, and I thought I was doing that, and I tried as best I could. And the thing was, I wasn't really giving it up all over the Lord. I still felt like there was something I was going to do. And it wasn't until I really just gave up and I said, "This isn't working. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not worth saving." That's what the problem is. I'm not worth saving, and I can't do anything. And when that came, when I got to that point, is when the Lord saved me. And so I no longer have that spiritual death awaiting for me anymore. And this lesson that we're reading here is a natural situation. It's a natural example of something that's spiritual. Jesus saved this man's life, this man's son. He saved his life. They tell us that that in the 53rd verse here, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed in his whole house. They all believed. The word got spread about what Jesus had done for that man, for that man's son, how that he had saved his life. We today need to spread that word about the spiritual salvation, because that's really what's important. As I said earlier, we're all going to die. I mean, we know that. Nobody, I don't believe here, doubts that there's a physical death coming at some point. It's just the way that things are. But there's also a spiritual death, and that's what we need to be concerned with. If we're not saved, we need to be concerned with it for our own souls. I am saved. If I need to, I mean, since I am, I need to have a concern for those that are around me that might not be saved. I need to do what this man did. I need to go to Jesus, and I said, and with a burden on my heart, I said, "Lord, my son, my friend, my daughter, whoever, they're sick, they're dying," because that's what's going on with people that are lost. They're sick. They have the sickness of sin about them. And we know that. We that are saved know that. We need to be going to Jesus and taking this problem to him, just the way this nobleman did. You know, I said he went out and he traveled. He put forth some effort. He could have stayed home. He could have said, "Well, there's no use. He's either going to get better on his own, or he's not going to get better on his own. There's no point in me going out. There's nothing somebody out in another city is going to be able to do." Man could have done that. Probably there would have been people around saying, "Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, you there's no need in spend putting forth that effort." But that's not true. There is a need to put forth the effort. And the man did put forth an effort. And I believe the true effort that he put forth was not the getting out and traveling, the riding of an animal or the walking or whatever. However he got there, the real thing that he put forth was to have a concern in his heart, to have a desire for his son, to be worried about his son, not worried in a bad sense, but worried in a sense of, "I want my son to be saved. I want my son to live." That's what we as God's people need to have today. But then it goes on, you know, that's the start. We also need to have the faith here, and we need to show that faith. We need to say, have faith in the Lord, and in our prayers say, "I know, Lord, that you can take care of this. I know you will take care of this if I approach you in the right manner. Now, that brings back, approaching God in the right manner, brings us back to the thought of what is the right manner. Well, a humble heart, contrite spirit, the Bible tells us the Lord won't turn away. He won't ignore a humble heart. He won't ignore a contrite spirit. But someone with pride, and that's an easy thing to be lifted up with, because that's the way that people are. It's just human nature to have some pride, to think that we can do something, to think that we've got some little bit of power. God can take care of the majority of this, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to talk to this person, because that's the person I think needs to be talked to. Well, I don't think that's the way it needs to be. I think that the Lord needs to direct me as to who I talk to, because the Lord knows other people's hearts. I don't know other people's hearts. I can look at people and I can say, "Why, that's a person right there that I could talk to. I could get in touch with him. He would listen to me and good things would happen," but I don't know. I just don't have that knowledge. And so when I go to the Lord, I need to go to the Lord with a humble heart and a contrite spirit, exactly the same way that it was when he saved me, because I had to get down to a low point. I had to get down to a point where nothing else mattered to me, and I had to get down to a point where I gave up on myself and I realized there wasn't anything at all, not even something small, that I was going to do. And when I get to that same point, to have faith in the Lord that he'll do something, then he will. He'll hear the humble cry of his children. He'll hear the contrite and broken spirit. And once I get to that point, or one of us gets to that point, we need to have faith, because that's what our lesson is showing us here, that the man, it says in the 50th verse, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. Because Jesus will speak to us. We'll feel that. And I know that y'all have, when you've prayed to God and you've got down and prayed and shut out all the world away from you, and you feel the Lord answer your prayers. You may not know exactly what's going to happen, but the Lord let us know when he hears our prayers. He'll answer that. And you know, I've prayed before and been upset and troubled and scared and worried and everything that you can think of. And then suddenly you know that the Lord heard you. He listened. He felt that. You don't know what the answer is, but you have a peace. You have the knowledge that he's going to take care of it somehow or another. Maybe not today or tomorrow, or maybe not even next week or next year, but at some point the Lord's going to take care of that prayer. And I think there's prayers that were prayed long ago that haven't yet been answered, that will be answered before the end of time gets here, before it's too late. I believe that the Lord will answer those prayers, but he'll do that in his own time frame. Now, it goes on to say in the 52nd verse here that then he inquired of them, that is his servants, the hour when he began to amend, his son began to get better. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Now this man knew what time he had been speaking with Jesus, and he knew the things that had been said. And he left at that point in time with faith, and here he's getting evidence. He's getting to see the fruits of his faith, because he said, well, it was at the seventh hour. And he put that, it says here in the 53rd verse, so the father knew that it was at the same hour. When he believed, when Jesus said, my son liveth, and that man believed, was when his son began to get better. And it says, and himself believed in his whole house. I think what has happened, this man went back and he told his whole family, everybody that was around him, his neighbors, everybody, told him what had happened, how he went and saw this man Jesus, and he had asked this man Jesus to heal his son. And the man Jesus said, if you have faith, then that's what's going to happen. The man had faith, and he went back. His son was okay, and he told everybody what had happened. Well, that's the way that we need to be today. We need to go out and tell everybody what happened, how that we had faith in Jesus when he saved our souls, how that we believed on him and we felt it in our hearts and we knew that we'd been saved. We need to spread that word out, because that's what the man did here. He spread the word. I don't think he shied away and said, brushed it off, and well, that was a coincidence. I don't think he did that. That would have been a terrible thing to do, to hide that. The Bible speaks about putting your candle under a bushel, and that's not the way to be. We need to let our light shine. That's about all that I've got for today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments? I will say that, you know, the Bible is, it's full of examples for us to learn from. And Jesus said in the New Testament that the Old Testament was given to us for examples as well. And we need to be looking at that, because we have examples of the way that we need to be. The best example, of course, is Jesus. But we also have these other people and how that they interacted with Jesus, as this nobleman did, as an example. You can also look through there and you can see some not so good examples, things to avoid. I won't get into that, but you know, when you see things that people did and the heartache that comes upon them, that's a warning. Don't do the things that bring heartache. But we have a lot of examples. We have a lot of things that we can learn from by studying the Bible. If nobody has any questions, no comments, we can be dismissed.
Appreciate you, Lesley. Also, I appreciate your testimony there. I'll tell us something that happened to me this week. Friend of mine that I work with, I've been trying to witness, say things to them, encourage them to think about where they stand. I get discouraged. Say, you're wasting your time. Another friend of mine come here this week. While he was there, he talks to this person. And he got a conversation with him and said, how you doing? He said, oh, I'm doing great. He tells him his testimony. Another friend of mine to come in. He shared his testimony with him. Told him of a time and a place in his life where the Lord saved his soul. It's just like the Lord told me, he says, watch me work. My other friend shook his hand. He said, it's a wonderful story. His man patted him on the back. He said, I hope you have a story. I'm going to tell you, he made an impact on him because he'd been a little shaky lately. Because he did. I think he saw a lot about what another man told him. All he told him was his testimony. And I thought, you're out. Said this and said that and said this, said that. I believe the man got somewhere with him. Continue to pray for him. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yes. Thank you for that. If there's nothing else, just remember the prayer request. And remember Brother Maggart. The Lord might be with him as he stands today. I'll ask Brother Langford if he would dismiss us.
I want to thank Christ, said the Father, thank you, Lord, for this coming together. Thank you for the teaching that we had in the Holy Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the teacher. Ask, Lord, that you might be with us today. Pray, Lord, if I might be somewhere I miss it. Father, I've been in free pardon of sin. Something might be said that I call it concern to be to seek out to be in fact be precious through every night. So, favor and blessing, we ask in the name of Jesus. For his sake, we pray. Amen. Yeah.